Welcome to Sermons from Holy Trinity. Holy Trinity Lutheran Church is committed to the preaching of Jesus Christ crucified and risen for the justification of the sinner by grace through faith for Jesus' sake. And now a sermon from Pastor William Swirla of Holy Trinity Lutheran Church.
In the name of Jesus. Today's gospel for the second Sunday of Easter is about a certain word and an uncertain disciple. The certain word, of course, comes from Jesus, the Word incarnate, newly risen from the dead, and the uncertain disciple is Thomas. And it's the certain word of Jesus that turns the uncertain into a believer. Thomas, he was called Didymus, the twin, presumably because he had a twin brother of which we know absolutely nothing about. He is listed in that second tier of the 12, usually somewhere between Matthew the tax collector and Simon the zealot. Tradition says that he went on to bring the gospel to India, where one of the oldest churches in Christianity still exists today, bearing his name. Thomas was the skeptical one, sometimes even the cynical disciple. When Jesus announced that they were going to Bethany to help Jesus' friend Lazarus, who had just died, it was Thomas who chimed in, "Let's go with him so we can die along with him." When Jesus said that he was going to prepare a place for his disciples in his Father's house, it was Thomas who asked, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" And when the disciples came to Thomas with the news that they had seen Jesus risen from the dead, it was Thomas who said, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and I put my finger into those marks, and unless I place my hand into his side, I will never believe." And Thomas said this even though he had heard Jesus plainly say at least three times that he would die on a cross and on the third day rise again. The scene of our gospel is Easter evening, the first day of the week, Sunday as we call it. It's the first day of the new creation. Jesus had risen. The new creation had dawned. The women had seen him. The word was circulating, and the disciples were holed up now behind locked doors. They were afraid. The word was out. There would be investigations. There would be interrogations. The same people who crucified Jesus would certainly come after them, and you can understand their fears. We live behind locked doors for a lot less than they did. And Jesus suddenly appears among them. He doesn't climb through a window. He doesn't sort of go through the wall. And he certainly doesn't knock on the door, because who would answer anyway? He simply appears. He's the Lord. He can do that. And he can do that and be fully human at one and the same time. I say that because there are those who say that he couldn't possibly be human and appear out of nowhere, because it isn't fully human to be able to appear out of nowhere. But then when God and man are one person, and that person no longer has his divine hand tied behind his back, all bets are officially off. Jesus can do with his humanity whatever he pleases. And that includes being on every altar every Sunday in his supper. And what pleases him here is to appear to his band of fearful disciples behind locked doors. And the first words from his mouth are words of blessing and peace. "Peace be with you," he says. Unlike our words, his words carry weight. They do exactly what they say. Like the beginning of Genesis, when God said, "Let there be light," and light there is. Jesus says, "Peace be with you," and peace there is. This is the peace that he promised. The peace the world cannot give. The peace that comes out of Jesus' own death. This is no idle wish. Jesus shows them his hands and his side, the source of the peace, his wounds, the marks of his death. By his death, he conquered sin and death for us. By his death, he made peace between the Father and the world. By his death comes a peace that surpasses our understanding. And the disciples, hearing his words and seeing his wounds, were glad. They were glad. Who wouldn't be glad? It was the Lord. You couldn't mistake him. He's the one with the wounds. He died and he rose exactly as he said he would. And he has the wounds to prove it. Whatever sorrow and fear that they had melted away instantly. His words and his wounds bring peace and they bring joy. Again, he says it, peace be with you. Didn't it work the first time? Of course it did. But now he has something more to give. He sends them. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. Jesus is the apostle of the Father, and now he sends his disciples as his apostles, sent ones, ones sent with his authority. And then he breathes on them, and he says, receive the Holy Spirit. It's a little preview of Pentecost that would come 50 days later. At Pentecost, the Spirit came on the whole church, but here only on the apostles. It's their ordination. With his words and his breath, Jesus ordains them to be his representatives, authorized to speak in his stead and by his command with his breath and his words and his spirit. What he speaks and what he once heard is the reason that he died. Forgiveness of sins, the justification of the sinner. That's why he has a church. He wants forgiveness to be spoken. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. And if you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld. Their forgiveness is Jesus' forgiveness. That's the key question that comes up in private confession. Do you believe the forgiveness I speak to you is God's forgiveness? You occasionally also hear it in our corporate versions, as you did if you were here on Ash Wednesday or on Holy Thursday. It's a question of office. It's a question of authority. Do you believe that the absolution that you hear from my mouth as your pastor is from God himself? And well, you should. It is authorized by the Lord himself. It is his office, his words, his breath, his spirit, his authority, his forgiveness. That's what the office of the holy ministry is all about, and that's about all that it's good for, forgiveness. Or if you will not be forgiven, then withholding forgiveness, but who wouldn't want to not be forgiven? Sins forgiven and retained. We call it the office of the keys that lock and unlock heaven itself by applying forgiveness that Jesus won for you by his death. It's all about the words and the authority that they carry. When the words come with the authority of the crucified and risen Lord Jesus, they pack divine authority. They are the same words that absolved the paralytic man and raised him up from his mat walking, that you may know that God has given such authority among men on earth to forgive sins. The words, I forgive you all of your sins, spoken in the stead and by the command of our Lord Jesus Christ, are the surest words that there are on earth. They come by way of the cross and the tomb. They come with Jesus' breath in view of his very wounds. They justify the sinner. They are spirit. They are life. They are the words of eternal life. Learn to cherish these words. Believe them. Cling to them. If you have nothing else but those words, then you have everything that Jesus died to win for you. Now, Thomas, our friend, the twin, wasn't there that Sunday. You see what happens when you miss church? You miss a lot. He missed Jesus' words, his wounds, his breath, his spirit. He missed being sent. The other disciples told him what happened, but Thomas refuses to believe it. In fact, he even says, unless I touch his hands and side, there's no way I'll ever believe it. even though Jesus had said it and Thomas had heard it. That's not doubt. That's unbelief. I will not believe. Now, fortunately for Thomas, he managed to be there the next Sunday. And again, Jesus pops in without so much as a knock on the door. You notice how in John, he always appears on Sundays. That's his big day, Sundays. Peace be with you, he says again. And again, he shows them those wounds, the nail marks, the spear mark, and then he turns to Thomas. Go ahead, Thomas. Put your finger here. See my hands? Take out your hand and put it here in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. And Thomas believes, and he confesses what he believes. My Lord and my God. And look at it very carefully. It doesn't say Thomas ever touched those wounds. He never got around to that. He believed and he confessed what he believed. And notice also that Jesus knew exactly what Thomas had said when Jesus was not visibly there. He knew. Faith doesn't come by touch. Faith doesn't come by sight. Faith comes by hearing. In Thomas's case, the words of Jesus, no longer be unbelieving, but believe. Those are the words that create faith in Thomas. We don't cause our faith. We don't decide to believe. The words of Jesus cause faith. The word that says believe. And Thomas, the unbelieving, skeptical, even cynical follower, becomes Thomas the believer, the disciple, the apostle. Have you believed because you have seen me? Jesus asks. The answer to that question is no. He has not believed because he has seen. Seeing does not make for believing. If Jesus appeared right here in our midst, in the very same way that he appeared in that locked upper room, but he didn't say anything, it would do your faith not one bit of good. In fact, it might even cause you to doubt more. Was that real? Was that actually Jesus? Are you losing your mind? Was it a hallucination? It's the word of Jesus that makes faith happen. It's the word of Jesus that delivers the blessings of the cross. It's the word of Jesus that justifies the sinner. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Blessed are those who stick their eyes in their ears and see by listening. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and who cling to it. Blessed are you, you here this morning. You have the words of Jesus. You have his wounds, his body and his blood. And from his wounds, you have his peace. Just as I declare it to you in the presence of his body and his blood. Listen for it when it comes up. The peace of the Lord be with you always. And you say, amen. Yes, that peace is mine. Thanks to the body and the blood of Jesus and his words. There is a Thomas in all of us. The skeptic, cynic, the doubter. Demanding proof, hard evidence, not taking God at his word. It's the old Adam who will not believe, who will not trust, who demands each and every time that God prove himself to be true before we will trust him. And perhaps you have said something similar yourself. Unless I see those nail marks and touch that spear mark, I am simply not going to believe it. Don't say that. Maybe you are like the other disciples. You know, their sin wasn't skepticism. Their sin was fear. They were hiding for fear of men, even though they had just heard the good news that death had been conquered and swallowed up in the victory of Jesus. What did they have to lose, even if they got rounded up and killed? Who cares? None of Jesus' disciples believed him. or they wouldn't have been locked up in some little room somewhere on that first Easter, and Thomas wouldn't have been demanding proofs and evidence of what they'd said. They didn't believe what Jesus had told them. They knew rationally and they knew reasonably that dead men aren't supposed to rise from the dead. They didn't need convincing. They needed Jesus' words. You know, we say it in the catechism, I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him. No amount of evidence, including sticking your hand in the side of Jesus, is going to cause you to believe. They really didn't need to see Jesus. They needed to see him for our benefit, to be eyewitnesses to the resurrection, to establish that fact as a fact of history. But even at the end of Matthew, when he appears again in Galilee on a mountain, they worship him and they doubt at the same time. Seeing is not believing. In fact, Jesus says it, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Blessed are you, me. We've not seen, yet we believe. Blessed are those who hear. They needed to hear those words, peace be with you. They needed to hear those words, receive the Holy Spirit. They needed to hear that word, believe. Your sins are forgiven you. And that's what you and I need more than anything, not just Sunday, every day. That's why we gather here at least once a week, to hear those words. There's nothing much to see. You know, we could decorate the church more, I suppose, and have more to look at, but that's not going to help faith at all. There's nothing much to see here, but there is much to hear. And what you hear is what those disciples heard in that locked up room. Words. Words with all the authority of Jesus' wounds and breath behind those words. These are the words of him who died for you. These are the words of him who conquered death for you. These are the words of him who reigns over all things for you and for your salvation. This is what he says to you. Peace be with you. I forgive you all of your sins. Don't be unbelieving. Believe. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Sermons from Holy Trinity. Services at Holy Trinity are Sundays at 9 a.m. and Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. Holy Trinity Lutheran Church is located at 15710 Newton Street in Hacienda Heights, California, and on the web at www.htlcms.org.